We said God wants Christ followers to operate with this top gear character, that God wants to work inside us, conforming our lives to the image of Jesus Christ, and that God doesn't give us a two-dimensional kind of a specs on what characters to look like, but God says, I'm going to show you what character looks like by looking at my son. I want you to look like that. I gave us a definition of character, and we said character is the commitment to do what is right as God defines right, not as I define it, not as society defines it, but character is the commitment to do what's right as God defines right, regardless of the cost. Now, the idea of bringing my character into alignment with the character of Jesus Christ, I have to be honest, it's a little bit overwhelming. If it was a matter of me kind of tweaking my character, becoming a better version of me, I could probably do that. But Scripture says that God has a much higher goal for us, a much higher vision of what my character is supposed to look like, what your character is supposed to look like. And God desires our character to reflect that of Jesus Christ. And I think it's beyond me. It's really beyond me. You know, I heard the other day about a guy, his guy named John. He got a call from his girlfriend named Buffy, and she said, I've got a problem. And he goes, well, what's the matter? And she said, I bought this jigsaw puzzle, and it's impossible. She said, none of the pieces fit together. I can't even find the edges for this puzzle. And he goes, well, what's it a picture of? And she said, a rooster. And she said, could you come over and help me? And he said, okay. So he drives over. He looks over. There's a box on the table. He goes, Buffy, put the cornflakes back in the box, all right? And I'm sorry if your name's Buffy out there today, so, but, you know, when we look at the possibility of our character reflecting the character of Jesus Christ, I think it seems impossible. But our responsibility, and we talked about this, is it isn't to manufacture character, but is to allow God to work through us, through the Holy Spirit, to produce character in us, which means that we have to abide with Jesus Christ. We need a relationship with Jesus Christ if we're going to make this change. In other words, religion won't do it, but a relationship with Jesus Christ, it changes everything. A relationship where you kind of raise that white flag of surrender and you say, I can't do this, but God, you can through me. And what I want to talk about today, and we're kind of building each week, so if you haven't been with us, I'd encourage you to go to iTunes, go to our website, but I want to build on this, and I want to talk about our part in the process of change. You know, as God works through us, what are we supposed to do? And I'm going to establish up front with you that as Christians, God is at work in you. He's at work in every one of us. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians, he says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The idea here is not that we're working for salvation, okay? But the idea is that we allow what has already happened, the fact that God has saved us, we're to allow that to come out in our words, in our deeds, in how we live our lives. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Let me ask you this. It says God works in, who's God work in? Don't say you, in me. Say in me. All right, where does God work? In me. God works in me. God works in you. When you're working with God, God's working in you. When you're working against God, God's working in you. What's God doing? Well, he's trying to bring about his good purpose in your life. And this is huge. This is big. This is a game changer. If you were to evaluate most of our prayers, I think that we would conclude that we think God works out there, not in here. Lord, change him. Lord, change her. Change this or that. Change my finances. Change the timing. Change the circumstance. God, change the problem. Change the political situation. God, I want to see you do this. And I think God looks at that and goes, that's not my agenda. In fact, it's secondary to what I want to do. God says, I want to work in you. Imagine if that were true. Imagine if everything that happens in your life, all the situations that you wish you could change, all the things that maybe leave you a little depressed and down, all those things that you feel like you've been left out, wronged, alienated, you know, all those circumstances. What if they were simply tools God was using to do something in you? It's a different perspective. In fact, it's been my experience that some of the most mature people that I know, people that I look up to in a spiritual form, they're the most well-balanced, got their act together kind of people, are people that embrace that truth. They are people that when the bottom drops out, when things go bad, when they get worse, when they lose their job, when something happens in the family, when things are not the way that they wish they were, they respond very differently. They tend to respond to that and say, you know what, I guess God is going to teach me something. Perhaps God's going to build my faith through this. Maybe God's positioning me so that he can grow me, so that I can be more effective in ministering to other people. Where's God at work? God's at work in me, in you, and God's working through us. You know, why would God do that instead of working around us? Well, I think it's because if you look around you, everything around us is temporal. Have you figured that out yet? Everything. Everything. You look around you, it is not forever. It is not eternal. It's going away. You know, Scripture's really clear. It says we were made from dust, and what have we become? Dust. But our spirit is eternal. Who you are is eternal. And God is interested in the eternal. God is interested in investing in the things that are going to last forever. And so God says, you know what, I'm going to invest. I'm going to invest in your heart. I'm going to invest in your soul, who you are. Now, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, God is working in me. Go ahead. All right, now turn to that same neighbor and say, God is working in you. And he's got a lot to do. That was fun, wasn't it? Here's the question. What is God doing in there? You know, some of you are looking, and you're going, I don't know if God's doing anything. Some of you were looking at your neighbor going, I don't think God's working at all, really. You know. But do you know what God's doing in you and what God's doing in me? There's really one word that kind of sums it up. Scripture talks about it a lot. God is renewing. He's renewing us. Paul talks about this process over and over through Scripture. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being what? When? Day by day. That's how often. Day by day, God is renewing. He's working on us. Paul was writing to the Colossians. He's reminding them. He says, Christ followers, you have been bought with a price. You matter this much to God, so much that, friends, we cannot live like we used to live. In fact, Paul, if you read the entire chapter, he goes through this long list of stuff that he says, it needs to go. You need to get rid of it out of your life. And then he says, take off the old nature with its practices and put on the new nature, which is what? Renewed. There it is again. Renewed in knowledge by conforming to the image of the one who created it. Let me ask the women here. What is the first thing you do when you want to get your nails done? Get in the car, go to the salon. All right, we got that. I mean, what's the first thing you do? You take the polish off, right? Now, I don't know why you take the polish off. It's a curious thing, but apparently you take the polish off so that the polish will stick, so it'll work, right? And so you've got the polish. You take off the old, you put on the new. And then you go around and go, check this out, you know. I love it. Some of the little girls here at church, they'll come up and they'll do this in front of me until I go, oh, did you get polish? You know, so, but, yeah. But friends, that's kind of the picture of renewal. It's taking off the old, putting on the new. And here's what God is doing in you. What God's doing in me, whether we're aware of it or whether we're not aware of it. God's in the process of renewing us, changing us. See, becoming a Christian doesn't guarantee that you're going to change. Renewal results in change. Renewal results in men and women becoming people of top gear character in life. God is working in you. What's he doing? Renewing you. What's that mean? Well, to make something new, you have to take off the old and put on the new. And so let's look at what God's trying to do, what he's trying to do when he renews you. Because remember, we talked about the traditional approach to change is I'm going to figure out what my faults are, or I'm going to have a lot of people tell me what they are, and I'm going to try and do better. I'm going to try and do better. And God says, you know what? You can only become a better you if that's the way you approach it. He says, I want your character to reflect the character of my son. I want your character to be like Jesus Christ. We need a different process. And that's where Romans, one of my favorite passages in Scripture, Romans 12:1, says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of Christ. See, Paul's writing to men and women that were living in Rome, to Christians. It was a terrible place to live if you were a Christian, was to live in Rome. But he says, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You know, to become this living sacrifice. He spends the first 11 chapters and he's talking about how great God is and all that God has done. And because of all that God has done, he says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. It's how you serve, how you live in life. In light of the fact that God has been so gracious, in light of the fact that he sent his son to die for you, Paul's saying figuratively, we're to crawl up on the altar. And we're to be a living sacrifice. We all have those moments where we say, God, I'm all yours. I'm all yours. I'm making myself available, God, because of what you've done, Lord. It's the logical response, but here's the problem. Living sacrifices. One moment we're on that altar. I'm going to surrender. I'm really going to do it this time, God. I am going to be what you want me to be. And then an hour later, we crawl off the altar. And so Paul, he kind of elaborates on it. He says, do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. The patterns of this world. It's kind of like if you were to make parts for these cars up here. You know, you might get plastic or metal. You pour it into a mold, and it takes on the shape, right, of that mold. Or you might get sheets of plastic, sheets of aluminum, and they'll put them on a form and they'll heat it, and it'll take the form of what it's patterned after. That's the idea here. You know, we talked about the world's pattern. World pattern, it comes in conflict many times with Christian patterns. You know, we said character is important. You know, most people you talk to me, oh yeah, character is important. But it's not as important as accomplishment. It's not as important as fulfillment. And Paul says, do not be poured into the world's forms on this one. Do not reflect the pattern and the value of the world. He says, be transformed. Be transformed. But I dedicate myself. I rededicate myself. I re-rededicate. I'm really serious this time. I am committing myself this time. I am never going to do that again. I will try to be transformed. I want to be a living sacrifice. I have done everything I can think of to do, and I just can't pull it off. Anybody ever feel like that? Here's the key component. Here's how it can actually happen. Paul says, by the renewing of your minds. But I thought it was by being really dedicated that you could accomplish. I thought it was by strengthening my resolve. It was by deepening my commitment. I am really in it this time. And Paul says, no, do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we are going to change, if we're going to have that top gear character that God calls us to have, we've got to be involved in the process, the renewing of our mind process. I mean, very, very specific here. You know, the challenge is, will we work with God in that process? Or will we ignore the process? Or will we work against God when God's trying to change us? What's renewal look like? I mean, to renew your mind means that you take off the old and you put on what? The new. You take off the old attitudes, the old thoughts, the old beliefs about relationship, sex, marriage, finances, business, you know, how you feel about what's happened in your life, that disappointment. You change your mind about what God should and shouldn't do in your life, what God should be doing around you. And you know what God wants to do? He wants you and me. And this is key. To begin to see as he sees. Because when we see as God sees, we're more likely to respond the way that God would have us respond. We're more likely to do what God asks us to do. In fact, we're more likely to finish the race that's been set before us when we start seeing the way God sees. In other words, I think God would say, you know, instead of putting you on the track of life and giving you 10 more things that you should or shouldn't do, which really hasn't worked well, let's be honest. God says, I want you to see every area of your life, everything that you do, the way that I see it. That's the power of renewal. It's kind of fuel injection in life. It's that fuel injection that I believe gives you that high performance motor when it comes to character. You know, because what happens is, as you begin to see as God sees, you think different. You respond different. You find the power you need to change. You actually can fuel through whatever it is. It's a process. Some of you have experienced it in your life. I mean, it happens over time, not overnight usually, but over time. Over time, that thing that seemed really ridiculous, maybe 6 months ago, a year ago, you now look at it and you go, beginning to make sense to me. You know, you read that scripture. You ever read a scripture or a command in Scripture, and you go, no way. You know, something that maybe you've heard me say or one of the other pastors, and you walk away going, yeah, whatever. You read that Christian book and that thought, and you're like, are they nuts? Have they lost their minds? And then suddenly, one day, you give a second thought. You go, that kind of makes sense. And then at some point, you're going, I wish I'd have heard that years ago. See, when you begin to work with God, when you begin renewing your mind, that high performance, that fuel injection allows you to do something that you absolutely couldn't do before this, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. All of a sudden, it clicks, it makes sense. As you allow that high-performance fuel, it renews your mind. It changes your mind. You, all of a sudden, you're confronted with God's laws or God's ways on how to handle something or not handle something, how to do marriage, how to raise your kids or deal with their problems, how to handle your finances, how to respond to authority. As you're being renewed, fuel injection from God, Holy Spirit, ignites you. Anybody ever been ignited? I mean, when that happens, all of a sudden, God's will becomes much clearer. You're able to discern things that you couldn't discern before. You're able to test stuff. You're more sensitive to the Holy Spirit's promptings in your life. And what happens? Here it is. All of a sudden, you're more responsive to God. More usable to God, you're less defensive. Instead of God's laws being threatening, as you renew your mind, as you change, as God's working in you, you're going to have this sense when you run across something, you're going to go, yay, God. I'm going to trust you, God, on that. Thanks, God. You're going to save me a lot of trouble. Friends, this is significant because renewal breaks down resistance in your life. It breaks down that resistance to God's ways or God's rules or whatever you want to call them. And it gives God greater authority in your life, greater influence over your will. And that's why God is constantly in the process of renewing you instead of instructing you. Here's what happens, I think, when we just hear God instructing. We resist. Let's be honest. How many of you like to be told what to do? Anybody? Because I need to talk to you after the service. I got some stuff I need done. And I know some of you are going, well, as long as I want to do it, it's okay. See, renewal breaks down your resistance to the stuff we just don't want to do. If you're a parent today, you have seen this 100 times with your kids, haven't you? You're watching your kids, they're making a decision or doing something, and you have a vantage point, don't you, as a parent? You're going, this isn't going to play well. This is going to be a disaster. You can tell what's going to happen. You can tell what they're going to do or who they're going to call or how they're going to respond to something. And because of your vantage point, you're going, this won't play well. So you're saying to them, don't. And what are they saying? Why not? And you're trying to explain it. And do you know what you're doing in that? You're saying, you know, son, daughter, if you could see the situation, if you could see what I see, you would do what I'm asking you to do or not do. If you just had my eyes, if you just had my maturity, if you just had my vantage point as a parent, if you could just see it for a moment the way that I see it, you would quit resisting my influence. I've got your best interest at heart. Friends, that's how it is with God. See, change, I believe, is easy when I start seeing the way God sees. Even in the area where you have failed over and over and over, if you could just see the way God sees. Renewing of the mind. Take off the old way of thinking. Take off the old patterns, the old attitudes, and get rid of them and replace them with God's perspective, God's attitude. It's a better way than thou shalt not or thou shalt. Because we just have a hard time there. But if we could see from God's perspective, we'd take it up a notch. In fact, I believe the reason why many people are not Christians, or the reason why many would say today, well, I used to pursue my faith, but I kind of gave up, man. And the reason why many people give up or feel like failures is because for a long time they've tried to be good enough under their own strength. And you fail. I mean, some of you gave up a long time ago. Some of you have wandered back in, you know, because you're kind of searching, because you've gotten beaten up and sin's done a lot of bruising and damaging in your life. Some of you, your life's a wreck, and you're going, there's got to be a better way. You're looking for some alternative. And here's the good news I've got for you today. You need to learn to work with God. You need to learn to renew your mind and allow God to help you with that process. You know, some of you started coming to church a year ago, 2 years ago or whatever, and you've been listening to the message, and at first, you'd be listening and your natural response, there is no way. Really? I'm not doing that. That's crazy. And now you're going, it's starting to make sense maybe. Do you know what's happening? You're beginning to discern the will of God. And when you discern that, I mean, what's the will of God look like? Good and acceptable, perfect. It's God's perfect design. Some of you would say, well, God's will, I mean, we live in a more modern society, aren't we? I mean, I think God's will is impractical. It's meddling. It's outlandish. I mean, God's will, it's anything but perfect. And if that's you today, it's okay. But here's what I'd like to say to you. Just keep coming and keep listening and allowing God to renew you. You know, you are surrounded by people that have been renewed. There are people all over here today that would say, you know what, a year ago or 2 years ago or 5 years ago, I thought the exact same thing. But you know what? It's starting to make sense. God's word's making sense. I mean, why is that? Because the mind's being renewed. Because this place is packed. Faith Fellowship is packed. Packed with people that would say, I am a work in progress, and God's still working. Now, I want to give you just a life example, an example I think most of us could identify with. When my girls were little, we always had our things that were challenges as a family. But one of them, I remember pulling in my drive one day. I got out. We couldn't even afford a garage door opener in those days. And so I'd get out, open the garage, and I'd pull that door up, and it looked like a Toys R Us explosion, all right? There are bikes all over, skates and scooters and balls and stuff scattered everywhere. And friends, this happened a lot of times. This wasn't the first time, but I remember this one time. I mean, immediately, I'm in a bad mood. Hard to believe, right? I get out of my car. I'm not proud of this. I started throwing stuff around. Getting it out of my way. In fact, I would create so much commotion that Cindy, my wife, she would come out to see what all the commotion was about in the garage. Then I'd go in, I'd get my girls, I'd sit them down, I'd lecture them, multimedia presentation, comprehensive plan of action, and I would explain to them it was a hassle, and that if they continued, I would run over all their toys. They'd get upset, they'd be crying, I'd feel bad when it was over. Anybody done that kind of stuff? Every time that garage door went up and there were toys in the way, I was in a bad mood. I remember one day opening the door, toys are everywhere. That mood come over me. It had come over me many, many times. And I think God's Holy Spirit just spoke to me. Not in a voice, but a thought. And I know the thought didn't come from me. Because that was never my thought when that door went up. I'd been there many times. But here was the thought. Damon, take a chill pill, calm down a little bit. Damon, a lot of your friends, they would love to open their garage door and have children's toys in their garage. Now, the next thought definitely wasn't from God, because my thought was, you ungrateful blankety blank. It was a moment that changed me. What had been very irritating to me, what had always turned into a big scene, people crying and upset, just changed. I mean, I sat back in my car that day, took a breath, said a little prayer, and friends, I didn't let that rob me of joy anymore. Now, I still had the girls help me pick the garage up each time. But it wasn't as big of a deal and it wasn't as big of a problem. Do you know why? Because God, in His grace, in that moment, I mean, nothing had changed. I just saw it differently. I saw it from God's perspective. And friends, when you see from God's perspective, it changes you. It changed my attitude. It changed my mood. It changed my actions. Ultimately, it changed my behavior. My mind in that moment was renewed. Old pattern gone. New one. I had tried to deal with that on my own. I can remember going, I'm going to have a really good attitude today. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to let this happen. And as soon as that garage door went up, boom, just hit me. And I wasn't okay. And I think God was just saying, you know what? Quit trying to control stuff. God says, good luck with that. You know, good luck making yourself a better person. And here's what I want you to see in this. You know, the fact is, God wants you to see who He created you to be. He wants you to understand what needs to happen in your life and to begin to think different, to renew your mind. I mean, do you see that? Do you? No, the fact is that God wants to work in us. And He wants to work through us and through His Holy Spirit. You can't be a better person on your own. You know, he wants you to see who He created you to be. He wants you to see that there's a better way by the renewing of your mind. You know, strip away the old thoughts, put on the new ones. You know, strip away the old thought and the old attitude about your husband or your wife so that you can put on new ones, so you can see the way that he sees. You know, what if you saw your husband or you saw your wife the way that God sees them as a son or daughter of God? Some of you are going, well, I thought she was just my wife. I thought he was just my husband. What if you saw them the way that God sees them? You know, God wants to scrape away all of our attitudes about money. I mean, what if we started seeing ourselves as stewards of what God has given us? You know, temporary managers of stuff, not owners. What if we understood that? It would change the way we behave. It would change our attitude about how we handle stuff. You know, teenagers, young people, some of you're living with your parents, and in your mind, you think, they are just unreasonable. But what if you could see your parents as the authorities that God handpicked to position you and prepare you for the future? I mean, that's a different way of looking at things. And if God could do that, show you what he sees in every facet of your life, if God could take away the old ways and replace it with new, God could change you. See, God knows that the shortest route to Top Gear character, God knows that the shortest route to you conforming to the image of his son, Jesus Christ, is if we see what he sees. We are more likely at that point to do what God asks us to do. And that's why I encourage you to pray throughout this series. It's really a good life prayer, but to just say, Lord, give me the wisdom to know what is right, as you define right, and the courage to do what is right, no matter what the cost. Let's read that together. Lord, give me the wisdom to know what is right, as you define right, and the courage to do what is right, no matter what the cost. Give me the wisdom to know what's right. Help me see your laws, your rules, your authority over me as it really is. Give me the wisdom to see it. Give me the wisdom to know it, God. And then give me the courage to do what's right. See, that's Top Gear. That's Top Gear character. That is God's goal for your life and mine. And that only happens as we work with him. If it's going to happen, you can't sit idly or waiting for it to happen. You have to fill your mind. You have to fill your mind with that high performance fuel. It's part of what we're doing this morning. It's part of what we do when we worship. It's part of what we do when we pray and meditate, when you talk to God on a regular basis, when you read, study, when we gather together with other Christians. You know, we spend time with other Christians. God is renewing us through those activities. And then I believe you just have to specifically pray and ask God, renew my mind. Renew my mind. And here's the really cool thing. God will answer that prayer if you pray it. God will answer that prayer. It's what God has been trying to do in your life for years. He just wants to work in you if you just let him, if you just let him. I'd encourage you, take that step. Just say, you know what, God, I want to live the way you want me to live. And if I've got some old stuff that needs to go, help me get rid of it and help me replace it with your will, your way, your perfect, perfect will. I'd invite you, we've got prayer teams to be down front, but let's stand and have a word of prayer. If you got something specific, you can come down. They'll pray with you this morning, but we're going to... God, we just... we lift our lives to you, Lord. God, I pray that your spirit would just work in us. And all of us here today, there's stuff that needs to go. There's some old stuff that attitudes or stuff we've just settled in with, Lord, that We just need to push it out, get rid of it, let it go. And God, I pray through your Holy Spirit, through your word, through maybe the word of a brother or sister, that we'd take on new thought, a new idea. We'd start seeing things the way you see them. God, I pray that we would just seek you in all we say and do. God, may we please you with every word that comes off our lips, how we live, how we work, how we play. We give you the glory this day, God's people said. Amen.